So now let's move into the Sugar Bowl. We've got Michigan against Virginia Tech. And these two teams love to run and love to play defense.
Oh, yeah.
Slightly different game type than the two we're going to see on January 2nd.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, to start, I've been amazed what Brady Hoke's been able to do in his first year.
Amazing.
I couldn't believe, I mean, there's a few things to this. One, they have a chance at 11 wins this year, and Michigan is the all-time winningest program in college football history, so should it shock us that they're about to try for an 11th win in a season? It shouldn't ordinarily, but to understand why that's a big deal, you have to see where they've come from the last few years, and the Rich Rod era was obviously a disaster. Michigan fans had to lower their expectations for what they are as a program to try to get back one day to exactly where they are now in a big time game. Maybe they didn't expect to be there. I mean, both of these teams, there's some controversy. Maybe we should be looking at Boise State versus Kansas State in this game, but we have what we have. And Michigan has had a great season in a Big Ten conference that I'm not sure where people saw them fitting in this year under him. He's a good coach, but what he's been able to do, I mean, I look at what he's been able to do with Denard Robinson. You bring in Al Borges, the offensive coordinator, who runs a pro style scheme. This time last year, they were running that at San Diego State, and it was Al Borges' offense. And all he had to do was say, my players are going to run my offense. He comes in and he says, I'm going to take my offense and I'm going to mold it in some way with what Denard does as an athlete. And somehow, even though it didn't look pretty and we called them out early in the season, they were able to right the ship and they were able to make Denard Robinson work in this pro-style offense. His numbers are a bit down, but look at the winning they've done at the end of the year.
Yeah, I was going to say, earlier in the year, I went off on Brady Hoke for letting Denard Robinson run around the way he was running and said at some point you have to take control of your offense. Well, that's why I don't get paid millions of dollars to coach at this level, because you can't call this season anything but a success, and at the end of the day, you do have to work with your personnel. It's easy, especially in college or in high school, to just find guys that work in your system and plug them into your system and just don't care if there's some ugliness to it, but it takes a good coach and a good system to make the guys you have work, and maybe down the line he'll recruit the guys he wants for what he wants to do, but he got the most he could out of this year's team, and all the credit in the world to him. And I'd say the same thing, of course, for Frank Beamer and Virginia Tech, getting the most out of the team you have. I mean, you're breaking in a new running back, and he finishes in the top five in the nation in rushing, and you're breaking in a new quarterback who was in high school a linebacker, and he had a great year, Logan Thomas. So really two great jobs of coaching, despite the fact that you could argue Virginia Tech should have maybe done more and Michigan could have arguably done less, but two deserving teams, both with great coaching.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Virginia Tech, it's fitting that they would earn the ACC's first ever at-large berth to the BCS, because this is Frank Beamer. They play a terrible schedule. They lose to Clemson by a million in their last game. Doesn't matter.
Let me clarify. When I say deserving, I mean deserving. They had a good year. I mean, they had a terrible schedule.
Right.
They lose both games to Clemson. They do not deserve to be in this game. Michigan, I'm fine with, but there's no way that Virginia Tech should be in this game over Kansas State.
Yeah.
Boise, you could argue either way, but there's no way they deserve to be in this game. But here they are, and they're a great program. They've been a great program for years, and here they are.
And it's another 11-win season, a chance for a 12th win. It's amazing to me that Frank Beamer has a chance at a 12th win in a year like this, where in their high-profile games against the other power in the conference, it obviously didn't go well. But it's just one of those programs that it's not going to go away anytime soon. Will they ever take this step up? There's only one way you can go, and that's into the national title discussion. I don't know when we're going to see that.
I don't know if they ever will.
But David Wilson's been tremendous. Like we said, Logan Thomas has had a very solid year at a position that I didn't even think he'd play in college. Yeah, it's amazing what they've done.
Let me ask you this. This is one of my picks on my college video. I love the under in this game. The under is set at 51 in this game. And I think this is going to be a good defensive battle. I mean, you're looking at two teams that average 17.2 points per game against, 7th and 8th in the country by a fraction of a point. These are two great defenses. Like I said, they both love to run the ball. Now, I understand the big play potential of guys like Wilson and Robinson, but I'm seeing a 17-14, 20-17 type of game. Am I way off here? Is there something I'm not seeing?
I don't think so. I mean, we expect good defense out of Virginia Tech. With how they've been able to win in the ACC over the years, it's always been predicated on defense. What shocks me is that Greg Madison, another part of this Brady Hoke staff, which I cannot say enough about what Brady Hoke has assembled as a coaching staff, Greg Madison inherits a defense at Michigan that was god-awful.
Terrible.
I mean, like, really, really bad.
Yeah.
And then he makes them really, really good in a year. With personnel, there's a few changes, but I mean, it's amazing that they're giving up 17 points a game and playing this kind of defense under his system within this shorter period of time. So yeah, I agree that it's a defensive looking game, and if you're a Michigan fan, you have to love hearing that because it shows you that on both sides of the ball, you've made great strides.
Are you concerned at all that Michigan hasn't done much away from the Big House this year? I mean, I'm looking at their schedule.
It's a good point.
Both of their losses come on the road to Iowa and Michigan State. They have some big wins on the season. They beat Notre Dame. They beat Nebraska. They beat Ohio State. But all those games were at home. Now, this isn't going to be a road crowd, but is that a concern? Virginia Tech, obviously, they got the two losses against Clemson. They had a pretty soft schedule otherwise, but they went into Georgia Tech and beat them. They went into Virginia. That was a very strong game that they blew out Virginia on the road. So they've shown me a little bit more on the road. Is that a concern?
Well, it's not a concern, you know, for me. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. But the funny thing is, Michigan won 8 games. They went 8-0 at home, right? They haven't done that since 1917, but how often do you get 8 home games?
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of home games.
Right.
And so it is something that you do. You have to look at it and wonder, first, you know, how many times are you going to get that many home games? Second, does it kind of breed a bit of complacency on how you're winning, and can you do it in a neutral site? I look at where the game's being played. It's in New Orleans. Michigan travels really well. They'll both be well represented, but the Michigan fans will certainly be there. And it's in a dome, and I don't know if this is just a mental thing for me or not, but typically teams with speed at quarterback, mobile quarterbacks and fast running backs like Fitzgerald, Toussaint, and Denard Robinson, they tend to play well in indoor environments. So certainly you don't know how they'll respond in a neutral setting because we haven't seen them there very often. But I think just from the talent that they have and what kind of offense they run, I think that they'll actually play well in that environment.
No, that makes sense. It's a really tough pick for me. I lean slightly towards Michigan. I guess I have to go with Michigan here. But it's really, to me, like I said, I see it being just a defensive coin flip. It's just going to come down to who makes a play or two. And perhaps Denard Robinson is the most explosive player on the field, but he's also mistake prone. He'll throw up some balls and just hope for the best. And so on the flip side, I could see him being the reason Michigan loses a game like this. It's so close for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm not giving Michigan enough respect, but it's really, really tough to call for me.
It is for me, too. I mean, the thing is, I look at form and whether this is a good reason or a bad reason to evaluate teams with this much time off. The last time we saw Virginia Tech play, David Wilson was held to 32 yards. Logan Thomas didn't play well. I can't get that out of my head, that performance, especially by Wilson, who you expect to be good for 100 yards almost every game. And for that reason alone, I'm going to take the team that is coming off of positive momentum, beating your arch rival with a lot of points, and I'm going to take Michigan in a 24-21 type of game.
Yeah, and let's not forget recent form, looking back to the last time Virginia Tech was in a BCS bowl last year against Stanford,
right,
when a team had time to prepare, and that was arguably a better offense. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a tough one to call, but it sounds like we finally agree on one, and we both have Michigan.
Yeah.